Hello, I'm Bob Prouty. I'm an American. I know, it took a long time to figure that one out. And because I'm American, I've had to spell my first name. There is no R in Bob, it's B-O-B. Okay, got it. I got here in 1991, but why? How? Why here? I was in America and thinking about how Christian workers are distributed in my country. And I want you to imagine an exercise. Imagine that 10 of us, there's about 10 right there, we're called to move a grand piano from here up to the top floor. Okay, it's going to be a hard job. You know, there's not much of a stairway. So 9 of you pick up the piano bench and leave me with the grand piano. Is that fair? No. But that's the way most Christian workers from America are distributed. Most of them are in America working with existing church, very few overseas. And so I became convinced that God had called me to go overseas unless he could prove the contrary. And for 10 years, God proved that I did not belong as an overseas missionary. First of all, I flunked missionary training. Okay, that's one sign. For medical reasons, I had picked up colitis working in South Korea as a teacher, and it just, you know, it didn't work out. Okay, so in that time, which you could, might say a real disappointment, I met the woman who became my wife. That's a positive, right? Okay, and she says she doesn't want to have children, she wants to have her first child in America. Well, I don't want to be a dad right away, so there's a little bit more delay, right? And so I say, okay, we've had our first child. It's time to go overseas. And she said, well, Bob, I don't feel peace about this. And personnel says, no peace, no passport. Okay, so we got to wait till the second child comes. Okay, then we're having a routine dinner at the house called a game called Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. Simple idea. You put together a dinner, and two random strangers from your team come down and eat with you. These two strangers asked Bob, what have you been doing for the last 10 years? I was sending missionaries overseas, you know, taking care of visa arrangements, travel arrangements, and so forth. Oh, but why don't you come to Korea to help us? And over dinner, my wife says, yeah, let's go. And all of a sudden, she's the one who wants to get us moving. Well, doesn't work out to go to Korea. They reassign me to Singapore. But I don't get my support raised in time. Another failure, right? So I end up in Australia. But you know, I'm really not an apartment dweller. My wife is noisy. The school principal is always telling her, Mrs. Prouty, be quiet. We just happen to fit that a lot better. I came over here to be the administrative assistant to the national director of a group called, well, at that time it was called Life Ministries, then Campus Crusade for Christ, and now Power to Change. Okay, I'm a good administrator. Number one administrator, second gift to be teaching. Oh, did I tell you that this is a participatory event? You're going to be taking some notes, and I'm going to be taking the microphones around to see if you've been paying attention. You should at this point be looking at a handout. If you don't have it, it says there's three things you're supposed to be looking for. Yeah, three things. You're going to be learning about Philip, an Ethiopian, and about how God leads people. If you've been paying attention, you've already caught a couple ideas of how God leads. Me flunking missionary training, somebody showing up who's coming to dinner, not getting your support raised on time. I show up as the administrative assistant, but my boss makes a mistake. He gives me a house right next to a school. My wife is an outgoing person. She does a scripture teaching thing also, gets me roped into it. But she starts inviting people into our house. What happens? We start an ethnic ministry. Now, I don't know what ethnic ministry means, because I think every one of you is ethnic. Anyway, there's no other Americans in my community, so therefore, you know, we'll fight that one later. But anyway, we start to work with people of different languages. Now, the problem is that in my suburb of 3x5 blocks, they speak 50 different languages. And like most Americans, I speak precisely one. American. So we've got a problem. Imagine this is a Jesus video. My wife goes to the next door neighbor who's Arabic, and here's what she does. This is an Arabic video. It's awkward, isn't it? It really is. But she finally took it, and guess what happened? A week later, my wife goes back to the house, and what happens? Yeah. Hey, folks, sometimes that's all you can do. And so I began to see the need to make bilingual materials. And I started making, there's a presentation called The Four Spiritual Laws. And I started making bilingual editions of that in 95 combinations, which had been used in like 215 countries. So here's Bob in little teeny Flemington, you know, Flemington Markets, that area, having a worldwide impact because I know how to use a computer. This next week's challenge is putting together a Bible study series for Muslims who speak French in Africa. I've done things, yeah, I know, it's weird. I'm also supposed to work on a Burmese set. I do things in multiple languages, you know, by computer, because that's what I do. So you know some things about me, right? Okay. We want to meet two people, Philip and the Ethiopian. And one of the fun things I enjoy doing in Flemington is getting to know people. Getting to know people who fled from Vietnam, getting to know people who really enjoy sharing their culture, their food, their lives. Sitting down with a Palestinian just a few weeks ago and hearing about some of his problems. Yeah. All sorts of fun people you get to talk to. Oh, wow. Okay, they gave me a clicker. Yeah, technology. I'm a computer programmer who can't figure out how to use Facebook. Okay, I love this. Let's start off with Acts chapter 6. In those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Oh, we got a church problem. Half the church ain't getting the food they deserve. What are we going to do about this? Church problem. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Division of labor. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. Looking for wise people, right? You've got a hard problem. You better make sure you got some smart people. We will turn this responsibility over to them. And we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. And so they chose Philip. We know Philip is Hellenistic because of his name. That means he speaks Greek. He's not one of the insiders of Judaism. He's kind of on the outside a bit. But we know he's full of the Spirit. We know his character qualities. I mean, he's an administrator. He really is. He's a good administrator. But what happens to the church after that? Do you remember what happens in the early church? Oh, sorry, I got one there. I forgot, sorry. Look at his daisy. Now, many of you did the My Friends training. If you didn't, I'll introduce it to you really, really quick here. This daisy shows the social circles that he's already involved with. Philip must have had some job because the church, I don't think, was supporting him. So he probably knew a lot of people from work. He knew some people from family. He knew some people from church. And he probably had other social circles. I don't think he played soccer, but you know, maybe there was some sport he was involved with. You know, you never know what this guy's up to. But those are his primary focuses. Ah, but on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. So what's happened to his social circle of the church? Yeah. Philip went to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. He went to Samaria. What a place to go to. You know about Samaritans. Samaritans and Jews hate each other. It's a good thing he's a Hellenistic Jew. He's got a little more flexibility, right? I love the fact that I'm a recent migrant. Somehow, as a recent migrant, I can get into a lot of social circles that people who have been in Australia for 2 and 3 generations can't. I feel that the recent migrants are my people. I love the rest of you. Okay, let's just put it that way. I do love you. But I feel at home with the recent migrants because I don't understand things either. I really don't. Centrelink, what's that? You actually get money if you have small children? There's just so many. Rugby? Oh, come on. I always lose to my team because I put the ball forward instead of back. They won't even let me play the game anymore. And cricket? No, I'm hopeless. Okay, anyway, distraction. Okay, when the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to whatever he said. For shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. What's happened? Administrator turns evangelist. And not just any evangelist. This guy is really seeing major, 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 major results. I became a follower of Jesus during my second year of university. And the idea of sharing my faith with anybody just caused my hands to start sweating. I ended my first sermon in America by fainting. My first Bible study, I fainted 5 times. Okay, I'm not exactly the extrovert. But, you know, he thinks some wonderful things happen. And so what does his Daisy look like now? Well, still family. Got to support himself some way. But all of a sudden, Samaria is his major Daisy. So if you've been involved in My Friend's training, you may need to redo your Daisy from time to time as social situations change. But it's a good way just to think about who am I, where does God want me to focus my evangelism? I don't only do evangelism in my Daisy, though. I put one for just plain Australia or where I am. Now, what do we know about this Ethiopian guy? Well, this Ethiopian guy is from the kingdom of, well, I can't pronounce it, what's now the southern Egypt or Sudan. What is his religious background? The people practice a polytheistic religion, worshiping many gods and goddesses, including the Egyptian-style deities, sun gods, and iron-headed gods. That's where he's coming from. Next slide. Oh, I can control this. Nice. Okay. He has traveled 2,000 kilometers. He has taken 6 to 8 weeks to get there. And when he gets to the temple, they won't let him in. Nice. Huh? Yeah. Our church allows people to travel 6,000 miles, come into our front door, and not hear a thing. Because we don't translate. I recently found an app which allows the speaker up front to speak in English and have the language appear on the person's phone in their own language. But our church isn't much better than that guy. Yeah, poor guy, he's refused admission because of his physical condition. He can't make it. Must have been sad. By the way, the Great Commission says to go, doesn't it? Talk about go. How far do you have to go? Well, from my perspective, it's go to the ends of the earth. But my thought is I came from America, and I've come to Australia, which is a good distance. But from my perspective, that's not far enough. Until I actually get into somebody's house and I'm having a cup of coffee or a cup of tea with them, I have not gone far enough. Now, it's even better if it's a full meal, but I will take coffee. Okay. Now, if the guy's buying the scriptures, they're expensive. A full set's going to cost them about $150,000. Yeah, I know, it's a lot of money. But we're using today's money, okay, just to make it in simple terms. So I'm not sure if he bought the full set or just the rule of Isaiah. I wouldn't pick Isaiah if I was buying a set. But if I'm the treasurer, I probably have a good amount of money, and maybe I'm going back to Ethiopia. I've been a long trip. I might take the whole set. I don't know. Anyway, so now you know some things about the Ethiopian, right? You know some things about Philip. New information, because I did the history lesson. He's all the way up in Samaria. He's coming back down to the desert road, right? Desert road is kind of a stupid word because it's all desert. Can you take the desert road across the Simpson Desert? Like, what other road is there? But yeah, it's the main road that people travel. It might have been a minor tributary like the Liverpool Highway as compared to the M2. But, you know, it's a fairly decent one. Okay. But he's told he's got a wonderful ministry going. He's told, go over here. But do you listen to God like that? Now, he starts off with a simple thing of saying, what are you reading, right? He hears that. He's skipping a very important part of evangelism. When I do evangelism, I start off with a casual conversation. What are some of the casual questions I might have asked people here today? Well, what would you ask? You're in front of me. What's a casual conversation? Casual question.
Do you believe in God?
Oh, that's spiritual. That's too hard. I want to. What's a casual conversation for the person next to you?
Where are you from?
Oh, where are you from? That's a great question. What's another casual question?
That's a nice coat you've got on.
Oh, now that's getting into meaningful, actually. You're getting into a meaningful conversation because you're revealing some of your attitudes about it. But that's even better. But this guy is going to start with a meaningful, he's going to be meaningful, just like you. Do you understand what you're reading? And the guy says, how can I unless somebody explains it to me? And so he then goes into a more of a, the actual into a Jesus conversation, doesn't he? Whoa. Did you get that then, my friends? I wish you had, because that's a good way of looking at things. Yeah, starting with casual, usually I follow this, although occasionally I don't have to. Sometimes I can go directly to the Jesus conversation, but not very often. And the result is a church gets planted in Ethiopia. The Ethiopian church is a very, very old church. It's a bit different. They have more than 66 books of the Bible. They've got books I've never even heard of. But, you know, that's I can live with that. One conversation, the church planted in a new country. Okay, so this is exam time. I like to bring a pencil to church because it allows me to record things. Many of you have much smarter brains because you just remember everything. I remembered something once. I'm not sure what it was, but I did. So what stands out to you about Philip, the Ethiopian, or about God's leading? Any of the three categories. And you can pass.
Philip was more wise and responsible about teaching God's word to people.
Yeah, that's good.
That his obedience and faith, when the angel spoke to him, he believed and he did it.
Yeah.
Sorry, what was it?
Okay, he passes, okay.
I don't know.
He doesn't know?
Not sure.
Not sure, okay. I know, sometimes it's hard.
Okay, so about Philip, a great man of faith. From administrator to evangelist, and then to disappearing in the supernatural.
Yeah, all of a sudden, how'd that guy get there? Did he just simply disappear? Did he walk? I don't know. But what I see is a change of roles based upon what's going on there. It's amazing. I'm convinced. Now, remember, I'm not an evangelist. But my friends think I am. Maybe because I spend so much time doing it. Some of my role models, a person who drives down to Adelaide, who stops at the same petrol station every time, and who starts becoming friends with the people at the petrol station, invites them to her house for a meal. They're Indian, she's not. One of my favorite types of evangelism is almond croissant evangelism. I love that one. It's one of my favorites. You see, I was teaching a class in Newtown, essentially, and you just had to stop by and get almond croissants. And after about a whole term of doing this, I invited Willie to my birthday party, and he brought the cake. I mean, he's a baker. Yeah, that's pretty good evangelism. I like that one. You can make almost anything into evangelism if you do it with the non-Christian in mind. Anybody here celebrate Epiphany? Anybody even know what Epiphany is? Okay, Epiphany is the most important holiday of the whole year, in my opinion, because that's the day I celebrate the wise men showing up to worship Jesus. And it's surprisingly, folks, I am not Jewish. Okay, and so therefore, that's a huge celebration that the gospel is for non-Jews as well. And so I invite people over to an Epiphany party, and they say, "What's that?" And I say, "Well, come and find out." And we'll have all sorts of fun. So I could go on talking about all types of evangelism, but I was told there was a time limit today. And so I'm not going to preach till 6 o'clock at night. I know. Now, we're moving to the second side of the page. I'm going to ask a question which I don't know what the answer is. Okay, I'm just going to make a wild, I'm going to be experimental. How many of you know somebody who is not living in Australia right now? Now, all I want you to do is if you know them. Okay, that's about typical. Okay, therefore, you can be international missionaries staying here in Australia. Now, there's two ways you can do it. Number one, you can reach the people who live across the street from you. Or number two, most of you have got a telephone which can be used for Zoom, which allows you to talk to your relatives back home. Okay, so what I put together is your daisy again, and the question is, who are the people in your social networks who could take the gospel overseas? Now, if you're like some of my neighbors, they don't know anybody overseas. But they have friends who know somebody who's overseas. So as far as being a cross-cultural missionary, you could put them down. On the other hand, there are, I don't know how to use my words, so I'm just filter this and figure out what the answer really is. There are people who've lived in Australia for a long time who are white, who are so culturally distant from you, they might as well be a different ethnic group. Do you get what I'm trying to communicate? That, you know, they may look the same as you, but they're not really the same as you. I mean, I think of my poor daughter who went to America. She grew up here, so she joined the international club. Because, you know, yes, she has a U.S. passport, but she doesn't fit it with the rest of the Americans. You know, I don't know. I mean, yeah. So the daisies is an important thing. And I think if I look at what's the next step in your spirit, in your relationship with them, I celebrate every time I go from one quadrant to the next. I celebrate if I can start a casual conversation with somebody. Hey, hi, my name's Bob. Burke's pretty good. Don't use it, though, unless your name's Bob. into a meaningful conversation. He got into a meaningful conversation by talking about how the coat looks. That's meaningful. Hey, celebrate. I went from casual to meaningful. Hooray. Nobody waits until their child gets to university to say that they're doing a good job in school. You go wacko crazy over this little teeny drawing of a dog which looks like a scribble. At least I do. A spiritual conversation. Isn't God great? That's that generic God who doesn't exist. And then a Jesus conversation where you talk about the gospel. What's the next step? The other thing I would like to say is, would coaching help? I know that people are twice as likely to be successful in sharing the gospel if they have a coach. I've had a coach for 5 years, and I look forward to meeting with every time. And so I'm willing to coach you in the process of being more effective in evangelism. And so there's a QR code, and you've got the piece of paper, so you can take it home, and you can decide, would coaching help you? Two ways of coaching. One, a weekly email. You read my successes, my failures. Okay, folks, I'm not an evangelist. I'm a human being. The second one is by one-on-one or group coaching. Those are also options. What do I want to see? Just what the Lord's Prayer says. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's what we ask for, Jesus. Amen.